You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the multi-million-dollar interstellar media broadcast communication studios of TalkZone.com, it's Lawyers Who Needs Them, featuring Randall Simonetti and Jim Hartman. Randall and Jim are ready to take your toll-free calls from anywhere in North America at 1-888-463-6748 and world listeners at 011-847-470-0937 from anywhere around the globe. And now, here's Jim and Randall.
Oh, that crowd gets bigger every week. Welcome to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
I almost said I'm Jim Hartman. I must be already screwed up for the day. Anyway, welcome to our show, and thank you for joining us on Lawyers Who Needs Them. My partner, Mr. Hartman, is considered one of Rochester's top trial attorneys and a bartender, and has argued before the United States Supreme Court.
And my partner, Randall Simonetti, is the president and CEO of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, serving over 12,000 people with this disease in 50 counties across upstate New York.
Now, if you folks would call in and make a big fuss over this show, Jim and I could get real jobs. Each week,
don't
Jim and
ridiculous.
I... Okay, I know. Nobody would hire us anywhere. We're over the hill.
They don't have a hill.
That big.
That's right.
Each week, Jim and I try our very best to take the mystery and complexity out of our legal system.
And to inject some common sense and a sense of humor back in.
And we'd love to entertain your question. You can reach us simply by calling toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-463-6748. Now, if you're a world listener, that means anywhere outside of North America, you can reach us at 011-847-470-0937. Again, 011, that's the country code. 847, that's the area code. 470, that's the NNX, as we say. And 0937, that's from anywhere around the world, toll-free as well. Now, if you are shy like my partner, you can call in or you can ask a question through the Internet simply by clicking on the Talk Zone site. Click Lawyers Who Needs Them Questions or whatever it says, something like that. And the question will come in to our engineer, Rollicking Randy Myers in Chicago. It's not Myers, it's Meyer. Rollicking Randy Meyer in Chicago. And Randy will send it to us, and then we'll do our best with answering it. Next, if you're really shy.
Oh, the muck and mire. Randy,
anyhow, if you're really shy.
Who's your partner, Muck? How's he doing?
Don't want to be known.
Irving Muck. He's a heck of a guy.
Is he?
Years ago.
Must have grew up in Brooklyn
Changed.
With you.
That's
right. Okay. I can't repeat what Randy just said. Anyhow, if you really are shy and you'd like to take a little time to compose your question, send it to the official Lawyers Who Needs Them website at lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. lawyerswhoneedsthem.com, and we'll take a stab at answering it next week on the program. So, you have enough instructions now out there? Without any further ado, let's kick off this week's edition of Lawyers Who Needs Them. Now, this week, there's a lawyer who was on the other end of an apology from Justice Scalia, who this particular lawyer was making an argument before the Supreme Court, and Justice Scalia accused him of something which actually wasn't true.
That's true. I mean, that's correct. And that's very unusual. Of course, a lot of these judges up there, they, I've argued there and some, they all have different personalities. Some are grumpy, some are very friendly and so forth. And
some of them friendly to
Scalia
you?
Is very talkative. You know, he's a very animated kind of
and
guy.
And effervescent.
And I never knew him when he effervescent, to tell you the truth. But he's very, very animated in any event. But sometimes he gets a little fresh. And he's known for being a wise guy.
Mm-hmm.
And this lawyer, he scolded this lawyer because he kept saying his brief, there was a statute that was not, that he was discussing, which was not set forth in his brief. And the lawyer, by the name of Richard Bress, was arguing on behalf of a death row inmate, claiming the courts improperly weighed his claim of ineffective assistance. Now, every time a guy goes, gets convicted, he says his lawyer was no good. In fact, he committed six times murders. Right. Nothing but his lawyer was no good.
Right.
So it's ineffective counsel. And he cited a statute, section 2254D of some statute. I wouldn't even know what it was.
I'm glad you quoted it.
Maybe it was
for our listeners.
For your listeners. Maybe it's in the, it may be part of the U.S. Code. But at any rate, so he cited the case. He said the case involves section 2254D, right? And Justice Scalia said, does that appear somewhere in a brief? It would be nice to have it in front of me. And Mr. Brest said, yes, Your Honor. And then he said, I mean, it says, that is to say, Scalia, it's a central thing. The case is about it. I cannot find it in the briefs. Don't you think it's important enough to be in your brief? And silence followed, and Mr. Brest continued with his argument. And by the end of the session, Scalia had figured out that the brief did contain whatever this is, section 2254D.
And he said he was sorry.
And he said he was sorry. And he
that,
said,
it takes a real man.
It does. And he said, I'm grateful for you not throwing it in my teeth, Scalia said.
Oh,
so
really?
That was nice. And, you know, but these things happen. And, you know, a lot of these judges are loaded with a lot of written material in front of them. And they got amicus briefs. And they have the regular briefs of the parties. And sometimes things like this happen. But, you know, again, Scalia is a little wise guy that way, but fortunately it worked out well. But let me say this, very few lawyers are apologized to by these judges of the United States Supreme Court.
That's right. That's an unusual thing.
When you're up there and everybody tells you you're God, you start to believe it.
Yeah, that's
one thing I'm going to tell you right now, that God does not believe is the United States Supreme Court justice.
That's right.
He doesn't.
It's not what he usually wishes does he for
was.
A living.
An easier job than he's got.
It's easy work if you could find it.
That's
yes.
Right.
And it's also forever. I mean, the last justice died on the job.
Well,
there.
It's not forever. It's for life.
For
That's
life.
Not forever.
That's what I meant.
For life. It's
for
forever
life.
For the guy who's got the job, because unless you know that, you know, well, if those who believe in an afterlife, it's not forever.
No.
It goes on to the next world.
That's correct.
But he might just become a clerk then, not a judge. Who knows?
You never know.
Right.
I understand that when you do pass over to the other side, you go back to when you were 33, and you stay at 33.
Wouldn't Is that right?
Nice?
I didn't
Wouldn't
know that.
Good? Yeah.
How about somebody who dies at 10 years old?
They go to 33.
How did they get into 33? They don't know what it was like when he was 33.
You're right. They probably stay at 10. Now, there's a technicality.
So that little story you just told is that it may be apocryphal, but I could tell you something else it is, but I can't say it on the air.
Thank you. Let's go to the next case.
Okay.
All right. The future looks bleak.
Well,
for those lawyers in the world today, based on the economy, there's going to be some big
that's
layoffs.
Right. It's going to be layoffs and different things. The lawyers, at last, are going to be caught like everybody else.
But not for long.
Who knows?
Until they figure it out.
But there's a book by a fellow by the name of Richard Susskind. He's a well-known guy. He's an author. And he said, there's a book called The End of Lawyers, question mark. I think we discussed this on some other program. Well, it was discussed in the last 30 or 40 years. But anyway, he said that the legal work has been, you know, increasingly profitable. I mean, these guys, I've discussed.
Profitable, $1,000
an hour
and up.
That's for the past decade or two, but times are changing.
Right.
You know, lawyers are no different than anybody else. When the economy sinks, they sink with it. And they say a rising tide lifts all boats. And an ebbing tide, God help you. So, anyway.
I was going to say, well, I'm not going to say
they're going to
else.
Require, clients are increasingly fed up with the fees they have to pay, particularly when they're suffering because of a lack of, look at the automobile industry, right. Which we could discuss later, but right now, so clients, they require more work at lower fees, and that's correct.
So what happened to this law firm?
Wait a second. Just a minute. I'll get to that. We're talking about generally. This is a generic conversation until I get to the other firm.
I understand that.
This is because you don't rehearse with me sufficiently.
No, here's the thing. We've been talking about this same topic for 3 weeks.
About
lawyers going through a struggle now.
Because they're not. First of all, let me tell you something. What they consider a struggle, most people would like to have.
That's right.
I mean, you know, so they can, you know, clients are going over. There's going to be this outsourcing overseas. You know what happens when you something wrong with the computer and you call up and you get somebody, but this is that bad. Yes, can I help you? Yeah, very, very good.
And then you give them the situation, and they
right.
say,
and
very
it's a little
bad.
Delay, very bad.
Very bad.
But,
very bad.
What have you tried? you open up that and default that, and that's very good. Now, I think maybe that's not our fault. Have you got, this happened to me one time. I went an hour and a half with one of these. I couldn't understand a word. He said, why don't you try, at that time, Dell,
right.
who made the hardware. So right, I called right. Dell. I got the same guy, I think. Had a big hit, but I had another hour and a half
that
with him.
That was in India.
And then he said, hey, listen, I think, he said it this way. I think maybe this, the telephone company, it may be the telephone company. I said, maybe you're right. So I called the telephone company, and he was right.
He was right.
I called my neighbor. He said, my phones are not working. So that's what it was.
I see.
After 3 hours of talking Hindu, what do they call it, Hindi?
Hindustan.
Hindustani, whatever
right,
it is.
Right,
right. Well, right now, you can send a law question, you know.
Yep.
To a fellow, for instance, you got a question, like when the man passed the red light, but you don't go to a lawyer anymore. You go to India. You send it overseas, you outsource it. Some guy outsources it for you. And he said, you know, this is Section 14.3 Vehicle and Traffic Law, State of New York. You watch out now, and that we send you a small bill. Now, in addition...
And if you're having trouble understanding me, I'll send you to my friend in Pakistan.
That's right. We'll make a shot at any moment. Call him quickly. Call him quickly. There's a little war going on. There's a war going on there. Big war going on there. With
Would you please tell me about this law firm?
Oh, so then, White & Case, which is a huge firm.
Right.
I think they got about, I don't know how many lawyers, they got about, you know, a ton of them. 700 to 1,000 people, I think. But no, I'm sorry. That's
in one location.
2,400 lawyers
that's
in the
right.
firm.
2,400.
Now, that's, by the way, folks, that's not a law firm. That's like two regiments. In the United States, a regiment is about 1,200 members.
Right.
Can you imagine? It's a bit, it's
It's a half a battalion.
No, it's a brigade. Of it. It's a brigade. I don't know. A battalion is a smaller than a regiment. You go company, battalion, regiment.
Oh.
Can I say squad, platoon, company, regiment? Don't forget. It has a very, very strong military background.
Yes, you do.
Yes, served yes, ninja, you do. You know.
You and Gunga Din.
Gunga Din. When I was there, something happened to him.
Yes.
He got shot off that tower, and someone said, you know, Gunga Din is now Gunga Din. So... Anyhow,
I thought they said, you're a better man than I, Gunga Din.
Well, they did.
Right.
But then he had to say, he didn't hear it the way it was supposed to be said.
How was it supposed to be
said? You're a better man than I am, Gunga Din. Done. Gunga Din. Anyhow.
Will you please tell me about this law?
So White & Case is laying off 170 people.
170.
170 out of 2,400. They're going to lay off more, but this is what they tell you about.
Right, okay.
And so 100 are staff members and 70 are lawyers. But let me tell you how they're going to economize.
Oh, all right.
They are going to spend this year for the holiday party.
Oh, yes.
Under $250,000.
Well, that's nice.
Well, but last year...
What did they spend
That was half of what they spent last year. Can you imagine a $500,000 Christmas party? They must have been drunkard and billy goats with the booze they drank at those prices. They must have been hanging from the chandeliers. I got to tell you something. That's the lawyers you go to. The next day you call your lawyer up.
Right.
Think of it. He drank $500,000 worth of whiskey.
Jesus. You know what? Why can't we find a company like that?
It's
a Christmas party for $500,000.
But seriously, folks, if that's possible,
it's not.
It's getting out of hand. And this is an idea. Can you imagine being the client and he hears you're paying $250,000 or $500,000 for a Christmas party and he's getting billed at $700 to $1,000 an hour? What do you think he thinks? If I were the client, I'd call up and say, look, fellas, you're not getting paid that bill. You're not having a party on my tab. When
right.
I invite you to lunch, you'll have lunch. But that's it.
I mean, what do we spend on a Christmas party at the studio here for the entire crew?
$1.95.
That's right.
So BYOB, bring your own bottle.
Right. And you know what?
And a bag of pretzels.
And we always have a good time.
Absolutely.
A good
very
time
good.
Is always had by all.
It is had by all.
Yes. And God bless us, everyone.
Hey.
That's what Staccato says. At the end of the night, folks, when the Christmas party comes, he plays the last song of the evening.
He on says, his back. On his back. Which he says, and you try to play a piano on your back.
It's not easy. It's not easy. Anyhow, let's see. Let's try one more of these before we go to break, okay? Oregon. Let's see what's going on. Oh, I love this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy, the Oregon biker, beats the rap for a naked ride.
Well, this is a very interesting. Some yo-yo in Oregon decided to ride his bicycle stark naked. Not quite. You'll hear it in a minute. They have an annual World Naked Bike Ride in Portland, Oregon. I never heard of such a thing, but they have it. And they created a tradition of protesting in this manner. For instance, you don't like the environment, or you don't like discrimination or something, so you ride a bike naked. But a Multnomah County judge dismissed an indecent exposure case against a man who tried the stunt on his own a few weeks later because, it was done mob-wise, but he did it alone. And in 1985, way back then, the Oregon Court of Appeals held in the city of Portland against Gatewood that public nudity, while prohibited by law for sexual gratification, can nonetheless be protected, can be a protected form of free expression, and hence its legality must be determined based on the facts of each individual case. So, Judge Jerome Labar held 2 days of hearings before dismissing the criminal case against Michael Bobby Hammond, 21 years old, finding that he let it all hang out as a symbolic protest. Now, the fact of the matter is, they say you can't do it if it's for sexual gratification. Well, who's going to gratify himself on a bicycle nude? So, I mean, how do you know the guy is that? You could have a nut who's gratified, by watching a Coca-Cola bottle pour out. I mean, people have all kind of weird, different kind of sexual propensities and crazy things. But if you go on a bicycle and you say, I'm naked here, this is not a sexual thing, I'm protesting the treatment of the frostbitten children of Cuba, and I want you people to know it, and this is how I protest. I go naked on a bicycle.
And it's okay.
Did you ever hear of such a nut in your life? But it's all right if you do that.
Well?
By the way, here's the important thing.
Oh, there is an important thing?
They pulled him over when he was naked.
They pulled him over on the bike.
I just want to ride my bike. I'm wearing a helmet.
So in other words...
He wasn't all naked. He
had a helmet on.
But he should have had a helmet on some other part.
Let me ask you something.
What?
That's gotta hurt. Oof. Riding a bike, that's gotta be.
Well, that's,
unless he was standing, which
well,
is even more interesting.
I don't want to get into that.
No, I don't either.
I don't want to get into that.
Because you could sell.
Fortunately, nothing gets caught in the spokes or anything like that.
Holy cow! Well, folks, if you're grimacing like we are, you need a break. So we're going to take a short intermission, and you are listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them live right here on TalkZone.com.